2:23 this evening, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore was imputed to him for righteousness. That it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Remember verse 21, being fully persuaded. Who is this speaking of?
Abraham.
What does it mean to be fully persuaded?
Convinced.
Assured. For absolute certainty and sureness, absolutely. What he had promised. Who's the he referred to?
God.
God the Father had promised. What is true of his promises in verse 21?
He's able to do them.
What is that ability? What attribute is that called?
Omnipotence.
Anna?
Sorry, I was just cleaning my glasses.
Oh, okay. The hand was up with the glass. Okay. That's God's omnipotence. He's thoroughly able to perform that he promises. A wonderful thing. And then in verse 22, therefore, what does the therefore go back to, do you think? What is the therefore referring back to?
That Abraham was fully persuaded that he believed God.
Fully persuaded, is able to fulfill his promises. And because he was fully persuaded, what was true?
It was counted to him.
Counted, imputed, means counted. What else does it mean?
Credited,
reckoned, put on the account. For what?
Righteousness.
Now, was he righteous because of what he did as far as any works are concerned?
No.
So this is a picture of how God works even today. He imputes righteousness, genuine righteousness, by genuine faith fulfilled and trusting God's promises. Imputed to him for righteousness. Now that's a teaching that is foreign to many people. They don't believe that. They don't believe the scriptures on that regard. They say the only persons and people that could get righteousness, those that do righteously. Now does this mean positional or actual righteousness? Positional or actual righteousness?
Positional.
Imputed. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
With message here, so I didn't see it until just now. But it's a hymn request for hymn 44, maybe we can sing it at the end.
Okay, number 44, Anna, if you could remember that for us, please. Mm-hmm. 44, all right, thank you. All right, so then, imputed for righteousness. Then in verse 23, was it written just for Old Testament Genesis, Abraham?
No.
No. But for, not for his sake alone, it was imputed, again, this word imputed, reckoned to him by faith. Let's read 24 and 25 together. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. All right, verse 24, but for us also, who's the us referred to today?
True Christians,
genuine Christians.
In particular, those at Rome.
Those at Rome. And
for Paul and Paul was with them.
That's right, by application to all those who are genuinely saved, to whom it shall be imputed. How will righteousness be imputed?
By belief.
By genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord. Who raised up the Lord Jesus?
Of the Father.
Actually, the whole Trinity was involved.
Of
the Son, God, the Holy Spirit. But in this case, the one that raised up, what is it?
By his own power.
Oh, yes. He raised himself. Remember, it says, I lay my life down. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. It's in the Gospel of John. So, but the Holy Spirit was involved. God the Father was involved. So believe on the one who raised up Jesus from the dead. Now notice verse 25. Who's that go back to?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ, delivered for our offenses. Delivered, what does that mean?
Offered up,
all right. For our, who's the our referred to?
Christians.
For Christians, and only Christians?
Everybody.
And I think by application, it's where he can be certainly included with Christian believers, but also all offenses, as we see clearly in other places.
So the beginning of verse 25, it's everybody. End of verse 25 is just the Christians, is that right?
He was delivered for our offenses. I believe that's for everyone, see, the whole world.
The beginning, I'm just saying, the beginning of verse 25 of our offenses is everybody.
Yes.
The verse 25 of our justification, that's just limited to the Christians.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Pastor. Yes, I didn't get what you were talking about. Yes. The Lord Jesus was delivered there on the cross of Calvary. Who delivered him? Who put him there?
The Romans.
The Romans. The Jews said, let him be crucified. And the Romans did it. Anna?
Well, anyone can be justified if they trust Christ.
That's right.
And put their faith in what he did.
That's right. That's right. And so we're delivered for our offenses, the defense of the world. He died for our sins. Remember, it says in 1 Peter 2:24, who?
His own self.
His own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. We being dead to sin, might live under righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So it's a universal death. God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son. Yes.
I guess the way we can tell that it means everybody and it's not just relating to them is in verse 24, it says, in the second part, 24b, if we believe on him. So that means everybody, in, because it says it, that if we believe on him. So mm-hmm. that makes it known that it's inferred to everybody who believes.
Everybody who believes. Yeah. If we believe on him, we can be saved. We can be justified by faith. He was delivered for our offenses because of our sins. Was he delivered for his own sins?
No.
Did he have any sins?
No, he was sinless.
He became sin.
He had no sin. He became sin. In him is no sin. Sin for us. Delivered for our offenses. Because how did we get the offenses?
For all of sin, I'm sure.
All of sin? Where did it come from?
From Adam.
Adam is the one that gave it. The sin of Adam was passed upon every single person that ever was born in this world. And we all are sinners, not because we commit sins, but because we have a sin nature from Adam. Now, it's true, we commit sins, that's over and above, but the sin nature, we're sinners regardless of what we do. That's the Tammy.
5:12, coming up. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and
death by sin,
so death passed upon all men.
All men.
All have sinned.
Death passed upon all men. And so, raised again, now notice, delivered, raised again. What kind of resurrection was it?
Bodily.
It was bodily. For our justification. Tax collector.
What?
All right, notice, raised again. Well, that word for, what's the meaning of that word for? What's that mean, the word for?
I'm
just stopping here
for 3 minutes.
Okay. Good.
I'm on my way to the bank.
We're going
to get something.
Nice. Okay. Raise
your
hand for our
history
now. In what way?
This is my friend.
Sherry. Come in, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Yes.
We met the other day.
And maybe later give her these chapter 4 and chapter 5 of the book of Romans.
I can't stay long. I'm on my way to meet a friend.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
Here's chapter 4.
You
chapter
4, Sherry.
Chapter 5.
You look good.
Okay. And you met her? You met her what?
Yes, it's Romans.
Romans, chapter 4. Okay. So in verse number 425, very last verse of Romans 4. All right, now what's that word for mean? Raised hand for our justification. What justifies? The death of Christ or the resurrection?
The resurrection.
And in what way is that for me?
For that purpose.
What did the Lord Jesus take on himself from the cross?
Our sins.
Now let me ask you this. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
If the Lord Jesus had no sin, how did he die?
He was crucified.
He was crucified, but how? If the wages of sin is death,
That was his job. That's what God said.
Well, that's true. He was
made sin for us.
Okay, he bore the sins of the whole world. And therefore he died because, not for his own sins. To save us. But not because of his own sin. He had no sins, but he bore the sins. Now, he's raised again for, as a proof of, our, those generally trusting in Christ, justification. In other words, what if he had not been raised? He died for our sins, the sins of the world, and paid the penalty. If he was still dead, what does that not show? What does it show?
Then is our faith in vain.
Our faith in vain, what else?
We are still in our sins.
Still in our sins, what else?
Well, also, they wouldn't have believed it. They said, well, he died. Look, he died. He didn't come back. He had no power. He's not God. He's
all
not
right.
Who he says he was.
Right, Bob?
It showed that he wasn't what he said he was.
But is that true? Yeah, Anna?
Well, if Christ was still dead, then he would still be paying for our sins, and we couldn't be justified.
Exactly. Still paying for our sins. Because God raised him bodily from the grave, that proves that we're justified, declared right. Yes. Sherry, is it Sherry?
Yes.
Sherry, here, go ahead, Sherry.
I have a question.
Yes.
I know a lot about the Bible. My grandmother had Bible studies. I was saved when I was 7 by Billy Graham.
Uh-huh.
I had gone back and forth. I am a sinner. The Bible, to me, is very contradictory. Mm-hmm. But I believe in the New Testament. I have faith, but my faith wavers. Now, God gave his only son and forsaken his only son to save us. In the Old Testament, there was Job and John the Baptist, and the people that stood up for the Lord paid dearly. But now Jesus came along, and that has changed. God does not interfere with what goes on in this earth. We are to have faith.
So what is your
My question is this. Why are people that are born with disabilities, hardships, children that don't have a chance, why are people still being forsaken?
All right. The Lord knows all these details, of course, and we have a sinful nature. Pastor Daniel, you want to handle that one?
God is in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we don't understand why certain people might have a disability, why certain people are born a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it may be just that God could glorify somehow in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Either in their life or the life of one of their relatives, that may be the reason. We don't understand.
And we're not supposed to.
Why? We have to know that
faith. We have to go on faith. Okay, question two.
I mean, the man that was born blind, you know, the question was who sinned, this man or his parents?
Mm-hmm.
The answer was neither.
But the Lord may be glorified.
It'll be glorified. Mm-hmm. And so that could be part of the reason today why we have some people among us that still have these disabilities.
Right.
You know, that are very heart-wrenching disabilities.
Right. Many of the disabilities because of bad drugs and all kinds of poison and different things and birth injuries.
There's many.
Yeah, second question, Trey?
My second question is this. Mm-hmm. We are to go in faith, and I understand that. Considering the Lord knows all, and we're basically, it's kind of like, I'm going to put it in a weird kind of way. You see these shows on TV, like these, they got superheroes. You got Superman, and he fights, you know, whoever. And we're basically dealing with super entities, God and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
If God is an all-knowing God, and two-thirds of the world are supposed to go to hell and follow Satan, why did he bother?
Well, I think it's much higher than two-thirds. Much more than that, going to hell. No, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But
if he loved us that much, why did he bother? We're peons compared to him.
Yes.
We're clay.
He bothered to send his son that those who trust in him genuinely, by genuine faith, could have everlasting life. You had something, Lynn?
Well, for the first question, Paul had some kind of thorn in his side, and he asked the Lord to take it away 3 times, and God didn't take it away.
Yeah, right. There's also a verse that God says, if you go to him as a child, and you are wholeheartedly, and you beg him to help you with whatever your problem or whatever it is you need, he will not deny you. Now, he may not come right away. He does it in his own time. And we are not to understand why.
Right, he does help us.
We have to trust.
Right, I understand what you're saying.
But when you do this for 50-something years or 80 years or 90 years, whatever it is you live to, and you find that you are denied 80% of the time, can someone explain to me how you are supposed to have faith?
Well, the point of it is, Jerry.
I'm just being very clarified.
God does not promise if you always ask, he's going to do it. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he answers. The answer is no.
Sometimes, I understand.
Sometimes the answer is later.
Sure.
Yes, tell me. And then we're going with Bible, Romans 5. Go ahead.
The Bible tells us that if we ask anything according to his will,
yes,
that he hears us and that we have whatever he asks. That doesn't mean it's necessarily immediate even with that,
right,
but we will have it. But sometimes we ask things that aren't according to his will.
Right.
And we know it's according to his will if it's in the word of God.
Right.
And so.
Right. Let's move on then to Romans chapter 5,
okay,
3 verses 1, 2, and 3.
It was very nice to meet you, but unfortunately, like I said, I
okay, well,
only stopped by for a few minutes.
Okay, that's right. Romans 5, 1, 2, and 3. Let's read that together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. All right, now, verse number 1. What does it mean, being justified by faith? Justified means what?
Made righteous.
Made righteous. Made righteous or declared righteous? Which?
It depends on whether it's positional or whether it's...
Well, what do you think this is, positional or action?
Positional.
So, the precedent.
I mean, there's the Latin of justified is to make,
right,
but the Greek is to declare.
Mm-hmm.
It's in God's eyes, you know, he sees us, he makes
so
us that way.
We're made righteous in his eyes, yes.
You know, I mean, it's a small little minor.
Right.
I mean, it's not that big of a, I mean, there's a distinction between declared and make. I mean, we still have to be sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
But from his standpoint, he's made us righteous.
That's right.
From our standpoint, he's declared us righteous, and we have to grow in grace and knowledge, mm-hmm, of Jesus Christ and become more and more like him.
I think we both things are correct. We've been made righteous in the books of heaven. We've been made righteous as far as he's concerned. So that's positional and declared, both declared and made in his, but not in our state. And how is that possible, that justification?
By faith.
Just any kind of faith? Head?
Heartfelt faith.
Heartfelt. Had to be genuine faith. And if we have this case this week, those who have been justified, what is true of them in verse 1?
We have peace with God.
Peace with God. Only how?
Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way that anybody can be justified by genuine faith. And we have peace with
God.
Pardon me?
We're no longer at war.
No longer at war with God.
We're no longer enemies.
And we have peace with God. Absolute, no more war and battles through our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that we can be justified, declared righteous, is through him. And that's the picture, the illustration of it was last chapter 4 with Abraham. He believed God. What did he believe God about?
The promise of the Son.
Promise not. Why was that so great?
Because they were so old.
How old were they? Lynn.
She was like well into her years. I don't know, about 90s, right?
And how old was Abraham?
10 years old.
10 years old, about 100. Yes. Pastor Dan's got something.
We have somebody from Argentina is listening tonight. I don't know who it is, but glad you're watching. That's very nice of you.
Yes.
We have services every Thursday evening here in the United States from 8 to 9:15, and on Sunday from 10 to 11:30, and also from 1:30 to 2:30. And then we get this
time.
Email message. Yeah, local time here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern part of the United States, which is, I guess, it may be an hour or so difference from where you are down there in Argentina. Here is a message from New Mexico, which again is an hour difference or so, 2 hours difference, I guess.
Well, which is it, the Argentina or the
No. There's two points.
Two points.
Issue one,
looking at something. We have someone from Argentina that's listening.
Issue two is we have a message from New Mexico, which perhaps New Mexico is either further away in time zones than Argentina. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They're two hours away.
3 hours.
New Mexico is mountain time, I think. Back to wait. Greetings to everyone in attendance and watching around the world. I want to say special hello to Lynn. Keep smiling. Hope everything else is doing well. Good discussion tonight. Take care and God bless the Robinson family in New Mexico.
New Mexico. Very good. Now, where was the Argentina one?
They were
waves in New Mexico.
We have a system.
We just noticed someone. We have like a 14 people that are listening this evening by way of internet streaming.
Oh, I see.
13 from the United States and one from Argentina.
Oh, I see. All right. But they didn't have necessarily an email.
They didn't have an email, but we just want to welcome them and thank them for coming and watching.
Very good. All right. So we have not only peace and justification, but in verse 2, what else do we have?
Access.
Genuine state.
Access.
By whom? Who's the whom refer back to?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we have. What does access mean?
He's the door. He's the way.
All right, door. If you have access, that means you can go into his presence, right? Some people have referred to their president of our organization or pastor as open door policy. What is an open door policy?
Access to that person.
Access to that person. Do they always fulfill that policy? No. They just use that word and somebody knocks on the door, stay out. But what's the only way that people can have access to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, through him, what's the only way we can have access?
By faith.
By genuine faith into this grace. So it had to be born again, genuine Christians to have access unto the grace. Where is that? Grace means what?
God's riches.
God's riches?
Christ's expense.
Getting something we do not deserve, another definition, grace. Who's the we referred to? Unmerited favor. What's we referred to back to?
True born again Christians.
Have to be genuine Christians. Now, if we're standing, what does that imply? Are the Arminians and the United Methodists and the Free Methodists and the Pentecostal Charismatics right or wrong on losing their salvation by sin? They're dead wrong. What is this word, wherein we stand? What does that imply?
You can't lose your salvation.
Can't lose your standing with the Lord. Does that mean we're perfectly sinless?
No.
But the sins have been paid for by Christ, justified by Christ, died for our sins. But we stand in him. How long? How long does a genuine Christian stand? How long?
Forever.
Every eternal life. Yeah, Anna.
It's interesting about, we use, sometimes we think of Calvinism and Arminianism on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, they sort of start to sound very similar because the Calvinists, some of the extreme Calvinists say, we can't know if we're among the elect, so we can't know if we're saved. And the Arminian says, well, I may have sinned today, so maybe I'm not saved anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, neither one has assurance.
Right. Yeah, Bill.
It seems like when we're judging these points here, we're relying a lot on our own judgment rather than opening up our hearts more to the scripture itself. God is trying to tell us. That lady that was here a few minutes ago, she's got some anger in her.
Yes.
And I can understand that. We all judge
anger and defiance.
Right. And that's, she's judging things her way. She's judging God when she should not be judging God at all. He is way beyond anything that we can possibly judge. We have to relearn what God wants us to know. Mm-hmm. We have to study and learn to understand things His way.
Right.
If we continue to judge things our own way, we are just stewing in our own sin.
Yeah. How'd you meet her, Bob?
Remember I told you I met the lady out there and I asked for money to give to her?
Well, that's the lady?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. She's got a lot of problems. Yeah, Lynn had something.
Yeah, I kind of forgot now.
Senior moment, all right. Now, we stand, very important. Now, to talk about, Anna brought up Arminians versus Calvinists. What should we believe?
We should believe what the Bible says.
We should be biblicists. Neither Arminians nor Calvinists. Some of Calvinists we would agree with. Some Arminians we agree with. Calvinists hate some of the things Arminians say. Arminians say, you can trust the Lord Jesus anytime. He died for your sins. Calvinists says, no, just died for the elect, and only the elect can be saved. So there are certain things, but rather than claim either one, we should say we belong to the Bible. We believe we're biblicists. We're Bible-believing Christians. Neither Arminians nor Calvinists. Those two different divisions are battling and fighting. Stay with the Bible. Stay out of this other mess. Yes.
I remember what I was going to say now. Assurance of salvation. She said it. Assurance. In the Bible, it tells us we have assurance of salvation once we're saved. We can know where we have it. We can look at, I think it's in 1 John, right?
Mm-hmm.
It tells us how you can know you have assurance that you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read that chapter, it tells you everything.
1 John 3, 5 or something. We may know we have a salvation. We have no.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
Knowledge.
So, that of course, you know, that makes an interesting point, the Arminians and the Calvinists, because if you don't look at the Bible, if you don't read the Bible for all it is, if you take something away or you add something to it, you're going to have what Satan is trying to get them to think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it all is. The fighting is fighting and war. That's all Satan, you know? That's all.
Well, both of those are philosophies.
Yeah.
Man's philosophy.
Man. That's
and
what
some,
I mean.
As I say, some points we'd agree with this one, some of that, but stick to the Bible. Then we got
well,
the Bible's truth is rather than philosophy. All right. So notice in verse 2, we are justified. We have justification. We have God's peace with God. We have access to the Lord Jesus Christ and to grace. What's the next thing we have in verse 2 if we're genuinely saved?
Hope.
Before hope even.
We rejoice
in the hope. Now we have joy and our salvation can bring us joy. Questions at bftbc.org or give us a call at 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. Give us a say hello or just call us and email us. We rejoice in, now, the rejoicing in Christ, joy of our salvation. David said in the Psalms, what? Restore unto me
the joy
of thy salvation. Psalm is 51, is it?
Yes.
51, after the murder of an innocent person, adultery they committed, he finally got back to the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We have joy, and then hope. That's future, isn't it? Hope for the glory of God. When will the genuine Christian who's justified by faith see and participate in the glory of God? When is this hope made evident? Pastor Dan?
Either at the rapture or upon death.
Rapture upon death. We see the Lord, the glory of the Lord, and the high priestly prayer of the Lord, John chapter 17. He said, I will that they behold my glory which I had before the world began. And be with me to behold my glory. In glory in heaven we will behold his glory. And then in verse 3, it's a little bit of a controversial verse. What does it say we glory not on the glory of God, but what else?
Tribulation.
What is tribulation? How do you define
trials.
It? Is it the same with everybody?
No.
Are they all the same?
No.
Different kind of tribulation, different kind of trouble. Some big, some little. But it says we glory is this true of every born-again genuine Christian? Do they glory in tribulation?
No.
Now, Paul apparently said that the Romans, many of did, and he did. Did Paul have any tribulation?
Many.
Yeah, plenty. He was number one in the scriptures almost in tribulation. Job, of course, was very strong too in the Old Testament, but glory in tribulation. By the way, John the Baptist wasn't in the Old Testament, was he? I mentioned today John the Baptist in the Old Testament.
Well, he's in the Gospel.
He's not in the Old Testament.
No.
She mentioned that.
So he was living in the...
Yeah.
He was still under the law.
I know, but she mentioned Old Testament, right. Abraham and John the Baptist. I'm just trying to correct that little thing.
So
I didn't
was
say
the last Old Testament prophet.
What is that?
He was the last Old Testament.
Oh, no, but he was not Old Testament. He was not in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament.
I understand.
Now, that was the error that was made. He was not in the Old Testament.
Well, he was prophesied in the Old Testament.
Yeah, he was prophesied, but he was not in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament.
But it was the dispensation...
It's all right. I didn't even catch it.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I heard it.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, all
right. But I didn't want to talk about
the church.
He was
before Calvary.
That does not make him Old Testament.
No.
He's not in the Old Testament.
He's
in the New Testament.
Right.
Yes, he's written in the New Testament.
That's exactly right, Anna.
But he lived during the age of the law. He did not
live
to see the
age. Well, that's true. Absolutely. We understand
right.
that. But not living in the Old Testament. All right. These people listening to us, they wonder, why are we talking about this? Well, the sort of the scale says something about it. I didn't want to correct you. I didn't want to say anything, but I remembered it. All right. So notice, Paul gloried, I'm sure, in tribulation. What do you know about tribulation in verse 3?
It develops patience.
Develops and works out patience. What does patience mean?
Endurance.
Perseverance.
Ability to put up with problems.
Did Job know anything about patience?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What does it say in the New Testament about Job?
It commends his patience.
You've heard about the patience of Job.
Humility, too.
Humility, all right. So, Job, what are some of the tribulations that Job did have in the Old Testament?
He lost his children, his house, his money, and his cattle, and everything.
Children,
house, health.
Possessions, his wife was not happy, his children were strange, his friends were strange to him. Anna?
Yes, we talk about patience is concerning circumstances versus long suffering, which is concerning people.
That's very good. That's a very good analysis. Girdlestone's synonyms of the New Testament. Very good analysis. Patience, taking care of things and circumstances, long suffering, microphthalmia, putting up with the people and individuals and human beings. Tribulation works out patience. If you understand tribulation, what it's all about, see, it gives you patience. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, but have you ever had any tribulation yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Has it worked patience for you?
That's what it was.
Yeah, sometimes.
Not enough.
No, okay. See, in other words, here's the thing. The more tribulation, the more trouble and difficulties, shouldn't that enable us to bear up onto the next one that comes? If we profit from the tribulation, wouldn't it make us stronger for the next one?
Yeah, because
tribulation ever going to stop coming?
No.
There's always going
to
be.
When
we get to heaven. But in this earth, there's always one thing after another.
Not in this earth.
You know, I think of my life as a Christian believer. You know, one thing after another. But trouble. But each time there's trouble and difference of opinion and whatever you want to call it, the next one you're ready for. I mean, it doesn't blow you away. The first couple strong things, you wonder, what is wrong? But it works. And that's a continuous action. It continues to work. Patience, putting up with these things. Then in verse, let's read 4, 5, and 6 together. And patience experience, hope, and hope we are not ashamed, because the love of God is set abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 4, what does patience work into?
Experience.
What would experience be?
Different experiences in your life.
Experiences in your life, all right.
Character.
It could be character. There's certain things that we undergo. Once you undergo, in the past you underwent. Now you're undergoing. It's a continuous thing. And then what does experience bring if it's
well, the end of the line is hope.
Hope. In other words, if we know the Lord, and he's writing to people that are genuine Christians here, there can be hope afterwards. Now, even in bad times, there's hope. If it's not in this life, there's hope in the eternal life, in glory. And that's what some of these people have to look forward to. The martyrs, the early church, terrible, terrible persecutions, pain and suffering and torture and crucifixions, different types of things that they went through, tongues cut out, eyes cut out, all kinds of things. But out of this life, there's still hope in the Lord and hope in heaven. And so we don't know when that's going to stop, but we know that beyond this life, there's always glory by and by. Yeah.
When Stephen was being stoned, he could see Jesus, you know, at the
right. Was he sitting or standing?
He was standing.
Now, normally,
He was standing.
What's he doing now?
Sitting.
He was standing.
The work is finished, but he was standing. Go ahead, continue.
He was standing. And because of what Stephen went through and what Stephen's life and what he did, I think it influenced Paul, which was Saul then, and then the thing, you know, then the Damascus Road. But I think it all had to do with what happened to Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
was Stephen hateful to his stoners?
No, he asked for their forgiveness.
What did he say?
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Lay not the sin to the church.
Yeah.
We're going to stop right here, verse 4. But do you have any comments or questions before we close tonight? Yes.
I want to know, in the word experience, what does the X mean?